I think between Andy, Zena and the worship, it's more or less given the message anyway, but that's God who's set the scene. Yeah. This week, God has been showing me about making sure that you're prepared for each day, really. I know what Grace was sharing about being connected to the vine, and that sort of gets you in that place where you need to be. But he's been showing me that each day you need to spend that time to get prepared, to get your attitude right. And the way to do it is to go out in joy. Wherever you go, from the minute you wake up, you're to go out in joy. And I mean, it's like if you're in a lab at school when you're doing an experiment. It's not until you've actually done it yourself and worked it through and see the end results that you can say, I know it works. You know, we can read it in here and say, yes, I know that that should work. But until we actually try it out for ourselves, it's not until then that you can really, it really becomes part of what you do. And it seems so simple. It's such a simple thing to do. To get up in the morning and say, right, I'm not going to let anything faze me. I'm going to take time out to start my day off with God. And the rest of the day is set up. And that's what's happened. You know, this last week, there has been occasions when I've come out of joy. But it's not taken me as long to get back in again as normally it would. You know, situations and circumstances this week, it's not been an easy week. There's been things that's tried to sort of knock me off my stride, but because I've been prepared, things just haven't touched me the way that they normally would. Now, and Zena was saying, you know, we always say, well, if we could just deal with this thing, then I'll do it, Lord. You can have all of me, but just sort this problem out and that problem out, and then we'll have a nice clear run at it. But that's not the way it works. What God wants to know is, how much of me do you want right now? Regardless of what situation and circumstance you're in, how much of me are you prepared? You know, how much do you want to get to know me, and what are you prepared to do, and what time are you prepared to set aside, regardless of what you're in right now? And it might take longer, and it might not be the easy route, but God is trying to teach us that if we remain in joy and we go out in joy, it'll get to the stages that builds up and builds up and builds up. But everything else that comes against you in your life, it just melts away. And I'll show you how through the scriptures what the place that we get to, which is absolutely wonderful. But I just want to start with where the title of today comes from. So we're in Isaiah 55. And just setting the scene, I'm going to read from verse 8 onwards. But this is a place where time and time again, God's people have turned the back on him. They've not listened to the code and practice that he's set for living. They've run off, they've seen sparkly things and things that all look better over the hill and the grass is always greener. They've ended up in exile, they've ended up with nothing. And time again this happens, but every single time it happens, God says to them, just come back to me, you're my children. And if you'll come back to me and get back in relationship with me, if you'll stay connected to me, then you can have all the blessings that comes with that. So if we read from verse 8, God is explaining what kind of a person, well, kind of a man he is. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So God's spoken this, and he's speaking this out over his people. And he didn't just speak it out then, as Zena said. God was and is to come. And when he spoke this out, his word goes into eternity. So this word is for us. And what he's saying to us is that if we will focus on him, get in right relationship with him, and put him first, then, verse 12, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's prophesied over each and every one of us. And that's a wonderful place to be. Every day you go out in joy and you're led forth in peace. And nothing can take that away from you. I just want to start showing you some instances of people in the Bible and when they went out in joy. And we'll start in Exodus. And we've got to Exodus 15. And this is where the children of Israel have just come out of Egypt, and God's parted the Red Sea, and they've got through safe and sound, and then Pharaoh and all his army were totally destroyed when the sea came back. Now, this gave the Israelites something to sing about. They were really, really, really joyful, and, you know, they were moving into freedom. They'd been in bondage for all those years. They were moving into freedom. They'd gone out in a situation where each one of them, the equivalent of today, would be at least a millionaire, because they'd got all Pharaoh's and all the Egyptians' gold and silver. They'd borrowed it, and that was theirs from then on to keep, because the Egyptians had broken the contract that they'd made. And every single one of them went out with no sickness and no disease. So they got a real reason to be joyful. And this is just, I'm just going to read the first two verses. This is the song that Moses and the Israelites sang. Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. So here they're saying that the Lord is their strength and song, and he has become their salvation. And that is exactly what he is to us. No, he's our strength and our song, and he is our salvation. And that's how the very first that starts off, we are saved by him when we were born again. But these people that were so joyful, we have these promises as well. That when we're born again, we move out of this yoke of slavery and we are free. Free in Christ. Each one of us, God wants the very best for us. He wants to give us an inheritance where we will prosper and be abundant. And Jesus bore our sicknesses and diseases. He wants every single one of us to get hold of that promise of complete and total healing. So if the Israelites had a reason to be joyful, do we not have a cause to be joyful? We've got exactly the same. Let's look at someone else who went out with joy. If we turn to 1 Samuel 2. I'm going to read again the first couple of verses. Now, where we're starting from here, Hannah, all that she had wanted was to have a child, and she'd previously been to the temple, and she'd poured her heart out to God, and she poured her heart full of sorrow and pain out to God and said, if you will give me a child, that is my one desire, but if you will give me this child, I will give him back to you, and he will be a servant of yours for the rest of his life. And God honoured that. And the place where we're coming to here is where Hannah is actually bringing Samuel back to the temple to go into service for God. Now, yes, there would be occasions when she would see him, but for a mother to be bringing her son and giving him over to God, that you would normally think would be a pretty upsetting time. She'd be thinking, oh, I'm not going to see him again. And that love that she had for him, you know, she'd be sad to see him go. But when Anna left that temple, she went out in joy when she left Samuel with the Lord. And this is what she says. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Anna went out in joy. And here was a woman who previously had been barren and childless. By the mercy and love of God, she had bore fruit and what a wonderful fruit, because Samuel was a mighty man of God. And she bore fruit that was pleasing to God. And that's exactly what God wants for us. He wants us to be fruitful and to multiply. And we are to bear fruit and fruit abundantly. And that's what God will bring to pass in our lives. So if Anna is going out in joy, and we can see what cause she has to be joyful, have we not the cause to be just as joyful? We have exactly the same through Jesus. I'm going to talk to you now about Mary. And I'm going to actually read these couple of scriptures from the Message, because they're so lovely. This in the Message is what God really showed me throughout this week, and it has been an absolute pleasure to wake up in the morning. And I can honestly tell you, normally it is the last thing on my mind, than thinking what a pleasure it is when I wake up first thing in the morning. But he's changed my way of thinking. Just to sort of start off, I'll not give you the scripture, just listen to what the Message has to say. This is when Gabriel comes to Mary to tell her that she's going to have Jesus and he is the Son of God. Gabriel greets her and says, "Good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out, God be with you." What a wonderful way to say good morning to somebody. But that's what God's been showing me. If only we'd spend the time, he is with us always. And the first thing in the morning when we wake up, the creator of the universe wants to say to you, good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside out, God be with you. How can you not be joyful when someone, God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all there saying, you're beautiful, good morning. And that is what set me up for the day. That gave me such joy. And I'd wake up in the morning and that is what I was greeted with. And I'd be right, where are we going today, Lord? What are we doing today? Because it was just such a pleasure to know that he was there with me. And as a result, he prepared the path before me. You know, things where you'd get into strife and you'd get upset just didn't touch me at all, because I was going out in joy every morning. And I was just so thrilled to be going out and living life knowing that I've got God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit right there with me. If we look at verses 46 to 50, this is what Mary, again I'm going to read out of the Message, but this is what Mary had got to say. She went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. And as soon as the good news was spoken out, the baby inside Elizabeth jumped with joy. It was such a wondrous thing that here was the saviour of the world. But this is what Mary had to say about it. This is from the Message. "I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Saviour God. God took one good look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him." Now here we've got, we know that Jesus is at that time within Mary, and she was going to bring him forth to the world. But that's exactly what we have as well. Isn't that the same as us? We've got Jesus living on the inside of us right now. And Jesus wants to be revealed through us, through the lives of each and every one of us, just like he was revealed through Mary. Is that not a cause for us to be joyful? God's been showing me that when you go out with joy, I mean, we say that we are to be examples to other people and they will be attracted to us. But you can't do it by effort alone, because that's just you doing it in your own strength. But if you set yourself up and you're prepared in the morning and you're going out with this joy, there's no effort involved at all, because people just look at you and there you are. You're a walking miracle of God, and you are, through the mercy of God, you are there. and you're bringing the good news. And, you know, that news and that truth that comes out of you is what sets people free, but it also sets us free. Yeah. It's all about staying in this joy and going out in this joy. You know, one of the scriptures tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the picture that God's sort of been showing me about this is what his intention is for us in terms of his joy. And we know that when God does anything, he doesn't do it in halves, he doesn't give us a short measure. It's always the absolute very best you could possibly even think of. You know, you take what you can imagine in your mind and then you raise the bar, because God is always over and above anything that you can even dream of. And that's what he wants with our joy. He wants our joy to be complete. And for that to become complete, we need to ensure that every day we get close to God, we seek fresh revelation in the Word, and we tune into the Spirit. And only then are we in a position to sort of be connected to the vine, as Grace would say, to let that flow to us as we connect to it. And that's when we can go out with the joy of God and the joy of Christ. If we look, I'm going to go into the New Testament now, and I'm going to show you about this making your joy complete. We can go to John 15. I'm going to start at verse 9. And this is Jesus showing us how our joy can become complete. So it's John 15, verse 9 to 12, I'm going to read. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Now that seems very simple instruction to me. If we want our joy to be complete, then the first thing we have to have is the joy of the Lord. It's no good just having our own joy. We have to have the joy of the Lord. And to get the joy of the Lord in us, we need to love each other. As we love each other, we remain in Jesus. And it's just explained that as we are in Jesus, Jesus is in God. And just prior to this that I've been reading, it is actually where Jesus talks about, I am the true vine. You know, so it's all about that staying connected, staying in God, staying in Jesus, and remaining in that love for one another. And then we can partake of Jesus' joy, and that joy is what will make our joy complete. If we go over the page to John 16, let's look at verse 19. In my Bible, this little portion is headed up, the disciples' grief will turn to joy. So starting from verse 19, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now there, you know, and in the Message, that last verse when it talks about your joy being complete, the Message puts it, your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. To start off with, I mean, it's absolutely wonderful at the end, but at the beginning it talks about, you know, you have to go through this time. It's not all sort of hunky-dory, it's not all skipping along in the nice grass. it talks about childbirth. Now, I haven't had a child, so I can't sort of say anything that I felt, but I've certainly heard a lot of people talk about it, and it sounds like quite a painful experience. And it's the same with us, you know. Times things can be painful, but it doesn't mean that we give up. We need to keep going. And like I said earlier, you know, it's all right to say, well, you know, you'll get more of my time, Lord, if you make more time for me. So take this away from me and take that away from me. Like Zena was saying earlier on, that's not it. God's saying, it starts right here. But if you stick with it, I will bring you out of it and I will make your joy complete. When it talks about complete, you know, it doesn't get any better than complete. And the picture that God gave me when he was talking about his joy being complete, I got this like a full circle. But it was though this circle was actually like a citadel. And the circle, because it's complete, it means that your battlements are set up. It's impenetrable. The enemy can't get in. There's no foothold. If your joy is complete, there's no way the enemy can get in, because you have a citadel that is completely and totally set up to see the enemy come in and deal with it long before it even gets there. It has no way of getting in towards you and affecting you. And also, it's in continual operation right through eternity. So the quicker we get our joy complete, the more we can enjoy it, because it's going to go on forever and ever. No one can take away that joy in this scripture that I've just read. And it also says, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. Now, I don't know whether that means we will already know anything. I don't think it does. What I think it's saying is, your joy is so complete. If you don't know it, do you necessarily need to know it? You know, I know that God will give us wisdom, but, you know, often times we want to know how everything works. Do we need to know how everything works? The main thing is that we will ask for what, you know, ask the Father, whatever you ask in my name, and you will receive it, and your joy will be complete. If we look in James 1, verses 2 to 4, now, I remember when I first read this scripture and I thought, I don't like this scripture because I know it's the truth, and it is. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, not only are we to go out in joy, we've got to stay in joy. And whenever we face trials of many kinds, which we will, we're to count it all as joy. And if we do that, then we will be brought into completion. You can't get much clearer in terms of instruction of how to get your joy to completion. But I just want to show you something about when you get to that place, and it's really blessed me, this. Let's have a look at Philippians 4, verse 1. Now we've got the letters here to the various different churches, and this is obviously to the church at Philippi. What's been said is here, just in verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you are my love and long for, my joy and crown. That is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. This church is seen. It's Paul, isn't it? It's Paul's joy and crown. And that started getting me, because the first picture that God had given me about joy was this circle, but it started me thinking in the terms of joy being a crown. And if we have a look in Revelation, these scriptures are quite fresh in our memories, because these scriptures I'm going to look at now are ones that Andrew's been going through with us as we're talking of worship. Revelation 4 and verse 10. So just before, where Andrew was telling us about where the creatures say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." If we drop down to verse 10. "The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" Now, I've been looking into crowns in the Bible, and I know that it refers to many crowns, really. It talks of a crown of righteousness. It talks of wearing a crown of wisdom and the crown of life. So I know that there are many, many different crowns. But what I believe is that if you get to this place where you're walking in complete joy, the crown of joy is the crown that is like the cherry on the cake. You know, along your journey you have needed to collect all these different crowns to move further on in your relationship towards God. But when you get the crown of joy, that is when you are seated in heavenly places. We've got the 24 elders here. So you are no longer subject to situations and circumstances that are happening in the world, because you're not in the world. You're in the heavenly places and you're seated with him because you have conquered sin and death, like Jesus has conquered sin and death. Because when you move into complete joy, absolutely nothing can sway you from that. No situation or circumstance. And that is when you can get there into the throne room and you've got that crown of joy that's brought you into that completion. And what do the elders do? Because they're in that place where they know that it's all down to God, the first thing they do is to take off that crown and just worship God. If we go to Revelation 19, verse 12. Again, we've seen this scripture. "His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on them that no one knows but himself." Now again, I know that Jesus has many crowns on his head because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, he's conquered all principalities and powers, so he has many crowns on his head. But I also believe that on his head are the crowns of the elders that threw them down at his feet. And this might be quite hard to understand, but at the same time that they're on his head, they're on the elders' head, because they've reached that completion. But they are continually offering them up to him as a sacrifice of praise and love and joy. They're saying, "Take this crown of joy that's brought me into completion, because I just love you so much and you make my life so joyful. Just take it." And he is the glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I really feel, this message hasn't been long today, but it's all about, you know, the focus on joy and how important it is. And I've got a long way to go with it yet. But if anybody today thinks, you know, I'm fed up of feeling, you know, like I'm on a treadmill, or I just want to get rid of this feeling of heaviness and I just want to get more of God's joy, then if you truly want that, I don't expect, you know, that you don't feel compelled to, but if you want to start off with the Lord's joy so that each day you can go out in joy and you can get to that place where you're moving into complete joy, if you want that, if you want to come out to the front, and I just want to sort of, I've got a prayer to say. I don't want to lay hands on you or anything, I just want to say a prayer for anybody who wants more joy, the joy of the Lord. So if we just focus on God at the moment, and we focus on the fact that we're here to have the joy of the Lord and to become complete, and I just lead us in prayer. Lord, you were a man of sorrows. You wore a crown of thorns and sorrow. You drank the cup of sorrow so that we may drink from the cup of life. You tasted death that we may taste life in all its fullness. Lord, it is our heart's desire to go out in joy every day of our lives, to stay connected to the vine, to our Lord and Saviour Jesus and Father God, to stay in love towards you and towards one another. Lord, we shed the garments of sorrow, we shed the cloak of heaviness, and we break free from the yoke of despair, and we put on the garments of praise and drink from the springs of life. As we partake of that living water right now, Father, let it flow out of our bellies and overflow into joy and peace and love in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, precious God, our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Let you bring us into perfection and into complete joy, that we may lay our crowns before your feet and worship you in love and adoration. Amen. Amen.